Hello and welcome back to Digital Health Forward. I'm your host, Dandy Zhu, and today I had the chance to chat with Julia Bernstein, General Manager of Platforms at 30 Madison. 30 Madison provides virtual specialty care through a mix of direct-to-consumer and reimbursable models that includes doctor consults, treatment delivery, and ongoing care. They're on a mission to make specialized care and treatment accessible to everyone. First with Keeps, a men's hair loss solution, then with Cove, which focuses on migraines, followed by Evens, which treats GI symptoms, and most recently, Picnic for allergies. 30 Madison is continuously expanding their offerings to find answers to chronic conditions. In this episode, Julie and I chat about the trends and changes in consumer behavior and tech innovation that have led to the rise of direct-to-consumer healthcare businesses, how 30 Madison creates a delightful patient experience at half the cost of local pharmacies, partnerships with pharma and payers, and what it means to 30 Madison to provide access for all. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Hey, Julia, it's great to have you on the podcast today.
Hi, thanks so much for having me join you. Excited to chat more.
I'm excited to learn more about your personal story and what 30 Madison has built to provide access to specialty care for all. You've held numerous leadership positions throughout your career in healthcare, from sales roles for payers to growth roles for startups and strategy roles for nonprofits. Tell us more about your background and your path, and how much of that path was planned and intentional versus opportunistic?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a zigzag. I think it looks a lot more intentional in the rearview mirror than it did when I was making decisions and following what I thought was interesting or made sense as a next step at that moment. I started as an analyst in Boston office of McKinsey, was there for a few years, did a bunch of really interesting healthcare projects where I was building these exciting business plans and then leaving them on someone else's desk to implement. And so decided to make a career switch to the startup side and went and got my MBA at Stanford and spent the second half of my second year talking to every single person who had talked to me about the digital health world and driving up and down Sand Hill Road and up to San Francisco, and ultimately was the first commercial hire at Ginger back when it was Ginger.io. And there's the company went from 5 to 50 and went from seed to Series B, and realized that we were trying to disrupt healthcare, but I didn't actually understand what was going on underneath the hood. So made a decision to move into kind of more traditional healthcare. And so spent a little bit of time at a nonprofit in San Francisco that actually ran a PACE program and did a variety of home health and Medicaid-sponsored programs. And then from there went to Beacon Health Options, which is now part of Anthem, and led strategy and sales for their West Coast health plan business. And so worked with states and counties, worked with commercial health plans, actually worked with some Medicare IPAs as well, to really think about how we could provide better managed behavioral health services, and was doing some really cool stuff, flying up to Alaska, flying out to Hawaii, and seeing them using technology to drive access. And so it kind of got me excited about taking what I've learned and going back into the digital health and startup space. And so took the COO role at Tempus, which was the category creator for digital alcohol use disorder programs, grew the company from 5 to 50. We raised our Series A from Maveron in 2019, and I was building out this really exciting back end where we were delivering content and community and care and really building out a really integrative model, and started thinking about what could we do with a platform that was more cross condition. And then as I was introduced to Dimitri and Steve, the founders of 30 Madison mid last year, got really excited about this idea of a condition agnostic platform where you can build brands around specialty conditions in a way that combined the best of digital health. And so moved over to 30 Madison as the GM of platform a few months ago. In addition, in my spare time, I advise and invest in a variety of early stage digital health companies where I can add value now that I understand what's going on underneath the hood in the healthcare system.
What you said about talking to everyone possible in digital health in your second year of business school definitely resonates.
You have to remember that was 2012. So it was really only about 70 people.
Yeah.
I think if you were to do it now, you would be a lot busier.
No, for sure. And I think that's a great thing to see how much the industry has evolved and how many more companies and capital is flowing in. So it's definitely an exciting time, accelerated by the pandemic as well. Can you tell us a little bit more about this GM role as GM of platforms? What does that look like? What are you responsible for? And how is that different from being GM of a product at 30 Madison?
Yeah, absolutely. So the platform at 30 Madison is the condition agnostic infrastructure that powers our care model, which is a combination of specialist level telemedicine, personalized treatment, and ongoing condition management. The platform itself is the technology, services, and physical infrastructure that powers that care model. And we've made a strategic decision to align our data, product operations, and growth efforts as part of the platform team. It's a new role for 30 Madison, and it's really exciting because it's so cross-functional. Mm-hmm. One of our values is one team, and to bring everyone together and to start thinking about ways in which we work together better, ways in which we collaborate, and ways in which we build. I think compared to a GM role, it's very similar in that I'm accountable for the services that my team has to deliver. I think the difference is the other GMs of Keeps Cove, Evans, and Picnic are my clients in my GM platform role.
That makes sense. So before we dive into 30 Madison, I think it'd be helpful for the audience to level set on some of the industry terms and a bit of the context that 30 Madison is operating in. So 30 Madison has this mission to be a human-first healthcare company that makes specialized care and treatment affordable and accessible for patients with chronic conditions. And so first, what is considered a chronic condition and how do you guys define specialized care?
Yeah. So I feel like we could do a whole podcast on just this question. You know, I think we've all kind of had this experience with the healthcare system where something is wrong. You go to your PCP who, through no fault of their own, has 8 minutes to talk to you, 3 minutes of which are spent staring at the EHR. They figure out that you need to go find a specialist. They give you a bunch of referrals. You finally find someone who has an appointment. It's 2 months out, you get there, they don't have your records, you've got the doc on one phone, you've got the specialist on the other phone, and the odds of walking away with a diagnosis or a treatment plan is really, really low. And it's also, you know, a bad experience for the provider who wants to provide the care you need without having to go through all of these hoops and all of these loops and the complexity of the system we've created. And so this recognition that you've created this labyrinth of steps that you have to get through to get specialist level care really was the impetus behind 30 Madison and this idea of an integrated care model that provides an incredibly comprehensive experience for any American who's struggling with a chronic condition.
And for the audience, what is considered a chronic condition?
Yeah, so I think we're looking at any condition that requires ongoing management. I think one of the things that's been really interesting for me, especially having spent a bunch of time in behavioral health, is how much we've expanded that definition of chronic condition and also destigmatized living with a chronic condition. You know, I think when I started at Ginger many years ago, we are actually trying to do a lot of work in diabetes and even just the language change of someone living with diabetes versus someone who is a diabetic is really important as we think about how many people have some sort of chronic condition and how we normalize that as part of an everyday healthcare journey.
Right. And having it not be tied to their identity in that way and allowing them to be an individual with so much more going on.
Yes. Or what I would say is allowing someone to define the extent they want it to be part of their identity.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I'm curious, what was preventing innovation in the space? And has anything changed in terms of trends in the industry or other things that have sort of enabled companies like 30 Madison to become a viable business model?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think, you know, there's some of the obvious answers around the very real constraints of the COVID-19 pandemic and the need to move care online. But I think it actually started a long time before that. You know, I started at McKinsey in 2007, and there was a survey that we had to do every year on healthcare consumerism. And I remember looking at this study in 2007, and you know, the big takeaway was consumers will never pay for anything. You have to figure out how to get it paid for by the health plan or the employer. And that's still true to a large extent. But I think that sense that consumers won't pay for things in healthcare has really changed. Mm-hmm. I think the system has been broken enough where people have started taking control over their own healthcare and using their dollars to do that. I think, you know, what this has led to is the growth of new models, the spurt of innovation, and then also in recognition that I don't think there's any healthcare company today that serves patients that is not a consumer marketing company. And if it's not a consumer marketing company, I think it's going to have to change really quickly. Even if there's B2B revenue, that revenue is coming from acquiring end users to make sure that you're getting that PEPM or that case rate or that fee for service payment.
Right. That makes a lot of sense, especially given, you know, I guess in these employer markets, so much of if whether or not these employers are renewing as well as how much their employees are engaging with it and utilizing the product, right? So even in that model, I mean, it makes so much sense that there needs to be that consumer engagement, that education, and making sure that people are satisfied and happy with the product. Wanting to deep dive into 30 Madison a bit in terms of what you guys have built so far. So my understanding is you currently have four brands. Keeps, that is the current largest DTC brand in men's hair loss care. And you guys had your 1 millionth shipment in 2022, which is amazing. Congratulations. Cope for migraine treatments, Evens for GI symptoms, and as of this week, the launch for Picnic, which is for allergies. So it seems like a very exciting time. You guys are growing and building out these different brands. How do you guys think about which brands and what sort of chronic conditions to target? What was the thinking around these four?
Our goal is really to be a condition agnostic infrastructure. I think the decision to start with Keeps came a lot from personal experience, from sort of how Dimitri and Steve were looking across the spectrum. But I think as Keeps was successful as a lower acuity condition, and then as Steve and Dimitri tried to move us towards this vision of a condition agnostic infrastructure, there was a recognition that we needed to build something that could work across acuity levels. And I talked about the experience of, you know, trying to get to a specialist earlier. I mean, there are many states in which there actually isn't a neurologist in driving distance of a patient. And so I think that's the impetus around this intersection of a condition that fits our care model, a massive access issue, and a place where we think we can add value and really improve that patient experience. We're actually doubling down on how we select conditions and starting to more programmatic around it, especially since we have some pretty aggressive launch goals in terms of new conditions served over the next couple of years.
For patients who have these conditions, can you just walk us through a little bit more of what that whole experience looks like and how you guys are delivering care with compassion, respect, and convenience as your company ethos lists out?
It starts with an understanding of a condition. It starts with what's the patient experience today? Where is the fragmentation? Where do people who either identify as having that condition or think there might be something to look into, where do they start? And so we start with awareness building. We find people where they are. We start to understand the barriers for them to treat care and make it easy for them to do so. From there, we're an asynchronous telemedicine platform. So we start with an evidence-based intake. We collect history. We collect treatments. We know if we find out if you've got medication that's worked in the past or if you're, you know, really starting from scratch. And then we also collect the information we need to identify if there's something where we think you need to seek higher level medical care. And I think for any business like this, who you exclude from treatment is as important as who you treat. Once we've collected that information, which happens through our, you know, delightful dynamic intake framework, our specialist level care team will review your information, reach out if they need additional information, and then provide a treatment plan and fulfill it with our delightful branded unboxing experience and all of the personalized treatments that we include in that treatment plan. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, based on the condition, we'll stay with you over time. These are chronic conditions and folks are managing them and the level of involvement is really, you know, condition specific. Cove's got a migraine tracker and there's a fair bit of outreach, something like Keeps. We'll stay close to you those first few months as you normalize taking the treatment, and then we're there as needed. But it's really about those three pillars of specialist level telemedicine, personalized treatment, and ongoing care management.
I was looking at the KEEPS website the other day, and I love the emphasis on also educating around all the myths that people may have thought about before they arrived at 30 Madison. Things like it's due to genetics oftentimes for male pattern baldness, but people think it might be caused by shampooing or sunshine or hats or all these silly things. And it's just, I feel like, you know, your doctor just doesn't address those things. They just maybe prescribe you, like you said, they don't have the time to go through that sort of education process. But I think those types of behaviors that you're helping them understand and change around is so helpful. And then for Picnic, you know, I was shocked to hear that there were so few allergists in the country, something like 5,000 that exist, and being able to get access to an allergist and have that sort of personalized treatment plan and recommendation is an incredible value proposition for patients.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think an educated patient is our best patient. And so anything we can do to provide that insight. I think the other thing I'll say is, as you mentioned, we're the largest men's hair loss brand. We're one of the largest, you know, migraine treatment programs. We've got data and a unique understanding of folks with that condition and the life cycle of people with that condition in a way that allows us to pinpoint on day 27 of your KEEPS treatment, this may be what you're experiencing. And I think that only strengthens the relationship between 30 Madison and our patients and how we really provide that specialist level care.
Yeah. How are you guys collecting feedback from consumers on a regular basis? Is there some way that people can share sort of what symptoms or side effects they're having, and so you have a more robust data set?
You know, we've got our customer care team, which is always taking feedback. We've got a progress tracker and symptom tracker on a number of our brands. And then, you know, we have an increasingly robust research program that right now is focused primarily on self-report data. And increasingly, we're hoping we'll be able to take in more real-world evidence, clinical data, claims data. And, you know, I go back to my ginger days of being able to correlate movement and activity from the cell phone with clinical outcomes. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for us as we understand our impact and better understand the conditions we track.
Yeah. And on that note, I'm sure some of that data could also be very helpful for pharma as they think about launching new treatments. I saw that Cove has entered into a few partnerships with pharma players, including Biohaven, to launch migraine treatment exclusively on Cove's telehealth platform. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you guys think about these partnerships with pharma and in which ways you sort of engage?
We see ourselves as a company that ultimately plays within that complex healthcare ecosystem that we fit within. I think our Caroline Hoffman, who's our GM of platform and another ex-McKinsey person, has done a fantastic job of really thinking through how Cove offers integrated care. And so that's partnering with pharma to make sure that we're offering the right treatments and the latest treatments. It's thinking about how we track outcomes and even, you know, leverage this pharma partner to understand what is it like to use drug X and drug Y, and probably have one of the bigger sample sets of doing that. As you think beyond pharma, there's a whole ecosystem of PBM relationships, health plans, employers, health systems, where there's a lot that we can do as we think about integrating into the broader healthcare ecosystem and really just continuing to improve the patient experience.
Yeah. And I want to talk a little bit about how 30 Madison is able to also provide a lot of these treatments for about half the cost of what a patient would have to pay if they went to, say, a local pharmacy. How much do these treatments cost right now? And how are you guys able to do that?
Yeah. So, you know, I think the cost per treatment really varies based on which brand and which treatment. Some of our treatments are covered by insurance. Majority at this point are self-pay. One of the things we've been really thoughtful about is who we work with and how we think about our supplier relationships. And we've really invested in making sure that we have access to well-priced products so that we're able to pass those costs on to consumers, or those savings rather.
I think it's amazing how much value is being actually passed on to consumers. That's a clear business decision of how much to capture for the company versus actually being able to make it accessible. But this idea of creating specialty care and access for all seems to be so core to the company.
Our pharmacy is actually called AFA, which stands for Access for All.
Oh, I love that. So thinking a little bit about all this innovation happening in digital care, how does 30 Madison think about how they want to continue to differentiate themselves and where to focus strategically?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, it comes back to a lot of what we've talked about, which is, you know, we want to be the best of digital health in one company. We want to be the best place and the first and last place people go for specialty care. Mm-hmm. We also want to be the best place to launch a new specialty care business and the best place to provide specialty care if you're a provider. So our focus right now is really continuing to do what we do well, make it replicable and scalable, whether it's playbooks and documentation, whether it's really doubling down on our technology stack, improving our service operations, and then, you know, bringing things like our pharmacy online so that it really is an integrated care model so that the patient experience is streamlined, integrated, and delightful.
It also stuck out to me that it seems like there's been a greater emphasis on ongoing management and engagement past that initial subscription and getting the diagnosis and getting the delivery of the product than perhaps other players in the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with some of the conditions that we're treating. You know, I think migraine is one in particular, Evans and gastro is another one where people are connecting not only with us, but actually with each other as they talk about management tricks. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, I spent 2 years prior to 30 Madison at Tempest, which had one of the most vibrant communities I've ever seen. And so I'm a huge believer in what I call the three C's of content, community, and care. And I think, you know, 30 Madison is really nailed the care and the content with the education piece and the treatment piece. And I think there's a lot of potential for us around community as we are that truly integrated specialty care provider.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And when you think about specifically this being general manager of platforms, I'm curious how you guys think about metrics and what is important to track from a tech and operations standpoint, and perhaps what are some of the unique challenges associated with creating this condition agnostic platform to power 30 Madison as a whole?
30 Madison is one team. It's one of the things that I love about the company that, you know, whether you're on Keeps or Platform or Cove, you're also first and foremost a 30 Madison team member. Mm-hmm. What that means is we are all accountable for the goals that we are trying to accomplish. So driving better quality, driving access, you know, using things like, you know, number of patients served as a key metric against that. Metrics like that are driven by systems. And so, you know, as we think about it from a platform perspective, we look really, you know, what are the leading indicators that our systems are working to be able to meet our, you know, overall company goals around number of patients served and the according quality and access outcomes that we're excited to continue to deliver.
What kind of metrics are associated with quality when you guys define it for the company?
You know, we've got a number of ways of looking at quality. I think first and foremost, patient feedback. I think second, we look at engagement and retention. And then, you know, our medical group is really committed to quality. So we've got a strong team of medical advisors and medical directors who are constantly reviewing the work that our providers are doing to ensure that it's best in class and aligned with evidence-based treatment, as well as our unique 30 Madison approach to addressing the conditions that we serve.
Yeah, I love how much clinical rigor is core to what you guys are doing, even as a consumer-oriented DTC healthcare product. I would love to talk a little bit about the COVID-19 pandemic and how 30 Madison has navigated that response.
I will caveat that by saying that I joined in the middle of the COVID-19 response at 30 Madison. And I think maybe the first place to start is that at this point, the majority of the company has joined remotely. So my running joke with the team is I don't know how tall anyone is because I've only seen them, you know, from the shoulders up on Zoom. So I think there's been a huge people element. And I'll start there because I think COVID-19 pandemic has been so much about, you know, how we support our people. And so companies really doubled down on enabling remote work, on creating connections between team members. We've put in place things like work from home stipends for offices. We actually created a child care fund to support working parents. we had a support program for folks in Texas. We have a number of employees in Texas. And so we are continually pushing ourselves to think about how we support our team through this very unique circumstance. You know, I think from the business perspective, you know, the company's grown a ton. I think we've been able to adapt quickly to the growing need for telemedicine. And I think we were well positioned with the brand that we had. And I think the growth around telemedicine has only allowed us to continue to invest with brands like Picnic. I think we are also thinking about, you know, what's our obligation as a healthcare company. We launched an urgent care brand at the beginning of the pandemic. We're thinking about what are the long-term health impacts on our society from COVID-19, whether it's long-haul COVID, whether it's mental health impact. And so I think in the short term, we're really focused on our people and on continuing to grow the services that we offer to people for whom, you know, telehealth is now the primary way they can get care. And I think it's longer term thinking about, you know, what are the healthcare impacts on our society of the last now 12 months.
Yeah. And it's amazing because I feel like whenever I ask this question, people are like, yeah, like we were able to step up and serve the exponential increase in demand for telehealth and all of that. And we don't even fully appreciate, I think, sometimes hearing that how much probably had to go into being able to serve the increase in demand over a very short period of time, whether that's the resiliency of tech platforms or being able to scale up in terms of providers and being able to come together as a team and be sort of all hands on deck. So if there's any other detail that you can share around how you guys actually navigated being able to adapt so quickly as a company, I think that would be really helpful color for the audience.
I met Steve and Dimitri, you know, 3 months into the pandemic, but I need to call them out for their leadership and the company that they built. I mean, I think having been in a leadership role at a different digital health company during March of last year, there was a sense of uncertainty. I think we didn't know which way this was going to go. We didn't know if we were supposed to be talking about ramping up or tightening our belts. And I think really just giving a huge amount of credit to Steve and Dimitri, the leadership team, and really everyone at 30 Madison in weathering that uncertainty. And then, you know, being able to respond quickly and scale up when the opportunity came to the forefront.
Yeah, that's so true. I feel like we now only look back and think about the outcome of increased demand. But at the time, putting ourselves back in March last year, no one knew what was going on. And so sometimes I think we forget that too. Great. So wanting to shift gears a little bit to looking forward and what's in store for 30 Madison, you mentioned that there's potentially a few more launches along the way for new brands, but also I've heard about this idea of moving beyond DTC as part of a potential strategy for this year. Can you share whatever you're comfortable sharing and any color on that?
Our end goal is access to quality care. I think we've been predominantly a cash pay business to date. And I don't think it's an either or between, you know, self-pay versus taking third-party reimbursement. I think it's a spectrum of payment models across our spectrum of conditions. We have a couple of businesses that I think may remain cash pay. Interestingly, some of the treatments offered by Keeps are often not covered by insurance. And then with brands like Cove, migraine treatment is often covered, but actually a lot of our Cove patients don't typically have insurance or they have high deductible health plans where the out-of-pocket cost could be really high. And so again, for us, providing access for all means being able to take different reimbursement models. And so, you know, we're actively looking to talk to employers, health plans, you know, and other stakeholders who are interested in our mission of access. Mm-hmm. And would love to work with us for the conditions that we're working on and thinking about.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense in terms of finding partners who are equally as committed to this mission for accessible quality care as 30 Madison is. I'm curious, given how difficult it is sometimes to make change in the healthcare system, given the number of stakeholders and incentives and complexity and regulation at play, what gives you the motivation and energy to keep going when things are really hard? What is that personal source of motivation for you?
I spent a bunch of time in one of those large healthcare companies that I think has a reputation for being slow. And one of the things that I was struck with even when I was there was everyone was there because they wanted to make a difference. people were there because they were excited about what it meant to expanding access to behavioral health, especially. We did a lot of Medicaid work. And so I think especially for underserved populations. And I think the thing that really keeps me going, and I've been on the wrong end of way too many 18 months long sales processes, but you know, we're all, which again, I think could be its own podcast, but you know, we're all doing this for the right reason, right? We're doing this because we believe that regardless of whether the system is broken, people deserve access to care. And I think, you know, keeping that mission focus and also remembering that everyone around me is, you know, working on that same mission focus and they've got their own challenges. I mean, that's been my North Star. Healthcare is hard. Healthcare is complicated. That's for me what makes it interesting. But at the end of the day, it's about giving people access to the care they need and simplifying how they get that access.
I imagine it is so important to take a step back from those day-to-day frustrations that likely come with being part of an 18-month sales cycle and remembering what your personal mission and your North Star really are. Thank you so much for sharing your insights and your perspectives with us today, Julia. This has been an incredibly thought-provoking and inspirational conversation. Do you have any parting words of advice or thoughts for the audience?
Not much to say in terms of advice, but we are actively hiring. We've got an MBA intern program. I've got a ton of open roles across my business units, my platform team, marketing, product, all of the above. And so would encourage anyone who's thinking about a career in the digital health space to take a look at 30 Madison and consider joining us on our journey.
Great. Thank you so much for taking time on your Friday morning. I'm looking forward to following 30 Madison's journey towards Access for All.
Yeah, really appreciate you giving me the time and the platform, and enjoyed the conversation.